Welcome, Arizona. There's your Saturday morning, 8 a.m. coffee pour, rooster crow wake-up call, and call to action to dial in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U if you'd like to join the Outdoor Living Hour. We've got notes from the nursery with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery, who's joining us by phone this morning. He's actually in the nursery, had to get in early to take care of business. We're in the studio, ready to take your call. Jennifer is standing by. Rosie's here. I'm here. And we're here for you.
We are here for you, like we always are, every Saturday morning.
1-888-767-4348. Text in 411-923 if you have a picture or you want to identify a bug or a plant or a weed. You can email pictures into info@rosieonthehouse.com.
We can talk Arbor Day. We can talk National Gardening in the Nude Day. That's tomorrow.
So you have your Sunday lined out, is what you're saying?
You know, my garden's been laying fallow for a couple years. So,
well, what better way to get it going than in nature?
You know, John Jay, I know you probably weren't able to tune in and listen to last hour. We had state geologists on.
I did catch most of
There's a very soft argument that your cabin in Christopher Creek could become the new Balboa Park.
Well, that would be unfortunate.
The Matazals.
We like it just the way it is.
The Matazals become Catalina Island.
Well, that would be kind of cool. Yeah, that was very interesting, the amount of landslides and the amount of activity that's going on all the time that we don't even know about is pretty amazing. So I think that's pretty cool. I was here early listening to you here in the nursery because we've got the Valley of the Sun, or the Sun Country, Sun Country Iris Society is here setting up their display, their show. They're showing off their beautiful iris, and they have some iris for sale. So if anybody's interested or ever wondered how iris did, today'd be a great day to do that as well. But you mentioned yesterday was Arbor Day.
And before we get to Arbor Day, I'm curious, what's the significance of an iris? Where would I put one in the home? Is it a potted plant?
Iris these bearded type iris, rhizome iris, do really well in the landscape here. You can have big beds of them. You can have them mixed in with your perennials or annuals. They do pretty well statewide. You can find them. We have some growing in the front yard at the cabin at Christopher Creek, and I've got some growing in my garden here in the valley. So they're very versatile. The flowers on these things are spectacular, and they've got a bunch of them to show off today. But great, you know, some of them are 5, 6, 7 inches across. They bloom every year. They multiply. You have to do a little thinning once in a while. They do so well. But they're incredible.
And what time does that start today? I think that was them calling to ask you to
front gate. They're actually setting up right now, and I think it goes till 2 o'clock.
Wonderful. That's on Hayden Road, just south of Thomas, east side of the road. On to Arbor Day. Y'all have a great display of shade from a couple magnificent trees there on the property as well.
Yeah, a lot of people, in fact, an old friend of yours that helps you with the crawfish stuff was in here the other day. He's in the landscape business, and he walked into there and says, you know, I would have thought I was back home in Louisiana under this big old tree. it does change the whole environment around your home and garden if you've got a really nice shady place, especially here coming up in a few months. We're going to appreciate any kind of shade and relief we can get. And of course the folks at APS and Salt River Project will tell you one of the best ways to cut your electric bill and your cooling costs is to shade windows and doors and hot walls, and probably one of the best ways and most cost-effective ways to do that is with some kind of tree or vine or large shrub that will shade that for you. Plus, they kind of help us give off this thing called oxygen, and we have a hard time living without oxygen, so we need lots more trees and shrubs around.
And what is Arbor Day? We've covered it here and there over the years when it comes around, but what's the significance of Arbor Day?
Well, it was a day set aside for the actual celebration. As our country became more urbanized, people realized, you know, the value of landscape and shade and trees, and the fact that I suppose as we developed certain parts of our country, we became, you know, we were maybe eliminating some of those, and we didn't want to take for granted what we had. And so they set up a national day to celebrate and to commemorate the value and the planting of trees. It's a national day, but it's not the same day everywhere. It's kind of interesting. In fact, until a few years ago, Arizona had two Arbor Days, one for northern Arizona, one for southern Arizona. So I think that's been part of the issue with having this become a bigger day than it could be, is the fact that it's, you know, every state has kind of a different day depending on their season and their time of the year. But in Arizona now, we have one day, and it's always the last Friday of April. So that's a great time to be planting almost statewide. You know, even up north now, you could start planting trees. Down, you know, still in the desert where it's a great time to plant trees. So really every day is as we joke, the best day was 25 years ago, right? The next best day is today. So we plant trees year-round here, and it's a great time to do it statewide right now.
The first Arbor Day was back in 1872, where they estimated to have planted over 1 million trees in Nebraska City, Nebraska. I wonder how many of those are still there.
You know, I bet some of them are.
I bet so. I bet they're magnificent. Huge old 100 and, what is that, about 50-year-old almost trees? 140?
Well, if they planted, you know, good hardwood trees like oaks and elms and, you know, all kinds of trees that live way longer than that. So I bet they are. It'd be interesting to go there and find out.
The Arizona Community Tree Council is in the middle of their FireWise program training for homeowners. It has been every year in Arizona, especially in the summertime, it can be a fire year. If you're in question or would like to talk to professionals about creating your own fire break around your home, the next one is May 14th in Benson for Southern Arizona, June 11th in Sedona, and Springerville, June 18th, Payson, July 23rd, and then in Quartzsite. So you can find all that at actc.org. We're here for the Arizona homeowners, so let's get to them. I've got Jay on the line. Let me make sure I remember I'm doing this all correctly as we bring Gina into the conversation.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi there. How are we going?
Very good. And your question?
I actually have a mulberry that was in our front tree, and unfortunately we lost it here back a few days ago. And I just wanted to know if it was possible to plant a jacaranda.
Certainly. Jacarandas are all over. In fact, they're very prevalent right now because they're in full bloom. So you know everybody that has a jacaranda right now, you know it. You can see them for a long ways away, that big old cluster of purple flowers that looks like a wisteria or lilacs in bloom on these great big feathery trees around the valley. So they do very well here. They're very tropical. That we do have some winters they can get nipped back by the cold, but in general they do very well.
Okay, great. And then do we need to do anything special for it, because it's going to be obviously a new planting?
Well, any new tree needs, you know, a good planting hole. So we never want to plant a tree any deeper than it comes to you in the container that it's in. But we want to go as wide as we possibly can and create a nice big planting hole for it with width. With tropical trees like jacarandas and some of the higher water using trees like elms and ashes, we do like to use some compost mixed with the native soil as backfill. And I would really strongly suggest you put mulch or bark or some type of compost on top of the ground when you're done planting. And obviously plenty of water, especially the first few days, is really critical that they don't dry out. I really like to pre-fill the hole with water, let it kind of perk down, then put the tree in, and then run the water as I'm filling the hole in. I'm actually running the water, which actually helps settle the soil, get rid of the air pockets, and make sure that tree gets a really good drink. And it's a tropical tree. It's not a desert tree, so it likes good water.
And if you're planting over the top of an old tree stump, how much of that old stump do you have to get out of there? Or how much will just naturally decay and get taken over by the new root system. That
well, you need to excavate enough to get it, you know, to get the hole dug the right size. The problem with planting right directly in an old stump is as it decays, that tree could possibly settle and sink. The roots of the new tree have no problem growing in and around and through, you know, the old stump and root system of the old tree. But the problem might be if you're right on top of that, if you've had it ground down or whatever, as it does decompose, you could risk the fact that it's going to sink and settle a little bit. So you might want to move it just enough that you're not just directly over the top of that old stump. Not that the tree wouldn't grow there, but the fact that you might end up with a tree that ends up being planted too deep, because as those trees settle, you know, the soil kind of caves in around them and gets too high up on the trunk of the tree.
Well, you got a good stump puller?
We
a big old pick and a
F-250 four-wheel drive.
Hey, I've got some interesting notes here for you. While you guys are talking landscaping, I went on and Googled World Naked Gardening Day.
Oh, you're trying to get
now
he's going back to that, isn't he?
Now just
I'm coming over to your house tomorrow morning
just,
with binoculars.
Now, just the other day, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how weird Portland is. You go to this website, Tips for Gardening in the Nude on World Naked Gardening Day, and all along the right side it says Portland's 25 best Mexican restaurants. Vote for Portland's best brunch spot. Top Portland bartender. 10 best concerts coming to Portland. See, I told you Portland was weird. The interesting thing about National Gardening in the Nude Day is you can wear sunscreen, socks, and boots.
Sunscreen, socks. How about gloves? You know, the problem with gardening in the nude in southern Arizona is that, you know, a lot of the plants we have, you know, have some thorns on them. And in Portland, you know, that's the city of roses, right? So, I don't think I'd be out there working around my roses on Gardening in the Nude Day.